I trust that video this evening has been informative and also helped encourage you whenever it comes to praying for our brother, David McCauley, as well as his wife and family as they go to Uganda in the will of the Lord a little later on this year. If you could turn with me, please, again in the Word of God to 1 Timothy and the chapter 1, praying about what the Lord would have me to speak on in light of the deputation video and the situation before us this evening, with Mr. McCauley himself speaking on the passage that the Lord used to lead his wife into service. I felt it would be appropriate this evening to look at the passage that led Mr. McCauley himself into service. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, there the apostle Paul declares, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And with the Word of God open before us, let's just bow briefly in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for what our ears have heard and our eyes have seen. We thank Thee, Father, for undertaking with the technology that enabled us to see it and for giving help even to those on the sound team. And Father, we pray now that Thou wouldst be pleased to bless Your living Word, make it relevant, Lord, to every one of our hearts, and change our lives for the glory of Christ. Advance Thy kingdom, lead people into Thy service. In Jesus' name we pray it all. Amen. And amen. Whenever I watched the video, there was a number of things that struck me, but perhaps one of the most prominent was that as the Lord led Mr. McCauley, as well as his wife Rachel, into service, that leading was gradual. You take, for example, the leading of God in the life of Mr. McCauley. First and foremost, he was challenged by a friend, and then that led to his consecration, as it were, to send, "Lord, in prayer, what wilt thou have me to do?" And then there was the calling of God through 1 Timothy 1:12. And while he had a bit of doubt regarding, yet the Lord then repeated that calling again to him through his own quiet time. After that, then gradually, step by step, the Lord then used a work colleague to speak to him about practical missionary work. That would seem a bit more possible for Mr. McCauley. And then after that, the Lord gave him a three-week missionary trip opportunity. That then led to a longer one-year experience in the mission field, confirming the Lord's calling for his life, even primarily with the preaching aspect, not just the practical. That led then to training. That led then to more and indeed experience on preaching, more training, focusing on preaching, and eventually then a trip to Uganda, leading a team of young people, and the Lord finally cementing his will for Mr. McCauley's life through the passage of Jonah, how the Lord had given many new converts and how those need to be discipled and could not be left alone. So the leading of God's life in both individuals was gradual. It wasn't just a one-off, bang, that's it, and they went and they left for the mission field. No, it was gradual. Step by step, bit by bit. Confirming, clarifying, cementing God's will for their lives. But not merely was it gradual, it was continual. God called and kept calling. God led and kept leading Mr. McCauley, indeed Mrs. McCauley, not only until they were compelled to go, but until they had that confidence and calmness, knowing that is exactly where God wanted them to be. And then there's one other aspect regarding God's leading in their life, and that is that their leading was instrumental. That is, God used instruments. God used a friend to challenge Mr. McCauley at the very beginning, now Minister Pastor Armin Tomassian. God used a work colleague to gently lead Mr. McCauley to the next step. And then God used, indeed, Mr. McCauley's own minister as well to direct him to Africa. There were instruments, people, that God used in Mr. McCauley and Mrs. McCauley's life. And tonight, I wonder if there is someone whom the Lord is calling to serve Him. Someone in this meeting that the Lord is calling to serve Him. If so, I would encourage and exhort you to obey the calling of God for the reasons that I will outline tonight briefly. And if the Lord's not calling you to service as a missionary or a minister, well, these reasons will be beneficial for anything that God calls you to do whenever it comes to witnessing for Him, even the local church here. But yet, for every one of us tonight, as we look at the reasons and the call of God in a person's life, let us see the solemnness of that matter. Let us pray for Mr. McCauley and Mrs. McCauley, seeing that such solemnity. So let us tonight for a few moments look simply at the subject, the call of God. And the first thing I want us to look at tonight is this, that the call of God is a high calling. Look at me please at verse 11 of 1 Timothy 1. Paul says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. In one sense, all believers are committed to the gospel. It's all been committed to our trust as the church, as it were. But yet, the Bible speaks in a different sense, in a very specific manner, that God put Paul into the ministry, a very specific work, and that specific work is given to specific persons. Now notice that that is a very high calling, because the ministry is glorious, because it is a service devoted to the foretelling of a glorious gospel. Verse 11 and 12, according to the glorious gospel. It's a glorious calling. It's also a joyous calling. The ministry is glorious, but it's also joyous because it foretells about the blessed, the joyful God. The gospel is good news. The ministry is glorious, it's joyous, but it's also wondrous because it is a service that will be used of God in the lives of men and women all around the world for whom Christ has died. They will come to a knowledge of the truth, and that they then will be brought into a relationship with the living God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, Paul says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Whereunto, for this cause, as it were, I am ordained to preach. In light of the fact that Christ is the people to save, I've been ordained, I've been called to this. The call of God is a high calling. Men and women, the degree of significance and importance that is attached to an occupation in the world today is normally defined by two criteria. First and foremost, the responsibility in that occupation, as well as the influence possessed. For example, if someone has responsibility over 1,000 people, that seems, in the world's eyes, to be a more significant occupation than an occupation in a role that is responsible for 10 people. How much money is overseen? If a person sells a Porsche, that occupation is seen as more significant and important than someone who sells a toy Porsche. How large an impact is made is also another way that the world looks at the importance and significance of an occupation. A person who cares for the overall health of individuals is seen to be more significant and important than a person who cares for the nails of an individual. And then there's another factor as well, and that is the money that's paid. A job which pays £1 million in its occupation is seen by the world to be more significant and important than one which pays £10,000, for example. And so the world has these ways of defining significance and importance whenever it comes to the occupations. Well, if you apply that same criteria to the high calling of God, you'll see that it is a very high calling, because whenever it comes to the responsibility of a minister, of a missionary, is the eternal destination of men and women in heaven and hell. There's no greater responsibility. And the payment for it is a 100-fold reward that's eternally lasting, and it will never be corrupted and never fade away in the new heaven and earth. So the call of God is a high calling. And so whenever we pray for Lord's servant, let us remember that he has been given a very high calling. It's a solemn matter. And of course, if there's anybody here that the Lord's impressing upon their heart for service, you remember this. This is a high calling. Charles Spurgeon said, if God calls you to be a minister, do not stoop to be a king. The calling of God is a high calling. Notice me, second of all, the call of God is a gracious calling. In verse 12, Paul says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was it that called Paul to the high calling? Well, it was the Lord. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. It was the sovereign God that called Paul. Paul didn't call himself, no, it was a sovereign God that called Paul. It was also Jesus who called Paul. I thank Christ Jesus, who hath enabled me, who put me into the ministry. Jesus, Jehovah saves, it's the one who saves sinners. That's who called Paul into the ministry. Paul confesses in verse 13 that he's nothing but a blasphemer, he's nothing but a persecutor. In fact, in verse 14, he confesses that anything he is, anything he's ever done, it's indeed been by God's exceeding and abundant grace. The reality is that if God was not gracious, Paul would never have been called. Paul didn't deserve to be called. If God wasn't sovereign, controlling all things, and making sure that Paul was called, Paul would never have been called, for no one else would have called him. Paul was called to this high calling by grace, by love, by mercy. What an encouragement, therefore, to all of us tonight. You may think, oh, I could never be called of God. I could never be used of God. I'm too great a sinner. I feel God too much. I feel God too long. I feel God too often. Let me tell you, Paul says in chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, that he is the chief of sinners. And that God, in saving Paul and in calling Paul, God has used him as an illustration that if God can use Paul and call Paul, God can call and use anybody. And so if God could call Paul and use Paul, God could call and use you. The calling of God is a high calling. The calling of God is a gracious calling. Notice with me, thirdly, that the calling of God is a privileged calling. According to the dictionary, a privilege is a special favor shown only to a particular people. Privileges are not given to everybody. They are shown to some, but not to others. Now you think about this other term that we've not looked at in verse 12. Paul says, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. Christ means anointed one. Who is it that God's anointed to be God's prophet, to be the one that foretells and foretells the word of God? It's Christ. He is the anointed prophet of God. But yet, who does Christ then call? He calls other people to work with him. What a privilege. There's one prophet of God, that's Christ, the one anointed, the one chosen, but Christ, he then calls others to work with him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, Paul said of himself and others, we are laborers together with God. And so while it is true that this can be applied to all of God's children, we're all called to work with Christ in our witness for Christ, yet it is specifically true of the gospel missionary and the gospel minister and the gospel preacher, that they are Christ's co-workers. What a privilege. What an honor. In fact, I would put it to you that there is no greater privilege in all the earth. Being called to assist and to work with Christ and the reaching of the lost for him. The calling of God is a privileged calling. It's not given to everybody, but it is given to some. Notice with me fourthly tonight, the calling of God is a promised calling. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. Who hath enabled me. Whenever the Lord Jesus called Paul in Acts chapter 9, God told Ananias regarding Paul in verse 15, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. But in verse 16, Christ went on to say to Ananias, I will show him, that is Paul, how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I could ask you all tonight to raise your hand, and all of you to give me one example of how Paul suffered. And with all the people that's here tonight, we could all think of different examples, different instances in which Paul suffered in the calling that God had for him. You could turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians 11. We'll go back a few pages in the Word of God to 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. In verse 23, Paul will speak about his abundant labors, or indeed, put it on our terminology, the heavy workload that he had. He'll also speak in verse 23 about the many stripes he received, about the prison sentences he experienced, and the many occasions he faced death. But look with me then at verse 24. In addition to these sufferings, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24, Paul says, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes." See if one. Five times Paul was scourged. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. In hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Oh, men and women, Paul suffered much. How did he do it? How did he get through it? How did he persevere? How did he endure? "Oh, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me." Maybe we could go on so much more, couldn't we? Paul suffered when people lied about him. People said he wasn't the true apostle. Paul suffered whenever people rejected him. They didn't want to be associated with him. Paul suffered whenever he was disappointed. His friends abandoned him. In fact, Paul will say to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 16, that no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Paul suffered whenever people would argue with him wrongfully. Indeed, a co-worker would give up working with Paul in the middle of a missionary journey. Paul saw people that he loved, people that he labored with, people that he labored for, people that he prayed for. He saw them backslide. Paul suffered lack of finance as he did his utmost to serve God. Paul had people vow to kill him, make attempts on his life. How could Paul get through it? How could Paul endure? How could Paul persevere? "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me." The word for enabled actually comes from two words. It is the word in, and then the word enable. And the idea is that enablement, power, strength was put actually into Paul. Enablement in is the idea of the word in the Greek. Christ gave Paul all the strength that he needed to accomplish what the Lord had for him. That's why Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Let us pray for our brother that the Lord will enable him. Pray for our sister, the Lord will enable her. It's the only way they can persevere. It's the only way they can endure. It's the only way they can do what God's called them to be and to do. It is if Christ enables them. Let us pray for them. And perhaps if there's someone here tonight and you fear God's impressing upon your heart service and you think, "I'm not strong enough, Lord. I'll never be able to be one that endures all that God will call me to." Let me tell you to fear not. Paul's enabling was not natural. It was supernatural. Paul's faithfulness, Paul's endurance, Paul's perseverance did not originate with himself. It originated with God. Paul was not able, but Christ was able. In fact, let me rephrase that. Christ is not only able to empower Paul, Christ was faithful in empowering Paul. The hymn writer said, "Go through with God, thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay." And let me alter the little last bit of it. "You will find that Christ's Holy Ghost will do the rest and enable you to pass any test." The calling of God is a promised calling. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me. Notice me just fifthly and briefly, the calling of God is a successful calling. 1 Timothy 1 verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful. Paul was faithful. Paul thanks Christ in this verse for counting him faithful. Many people look at that verse and they will say, well, Paul was put into the ministry because he was faithful to Christ before he was put into the ministry. What do you think about that? That cannot be what he means. Paul was chosen by God for ministry when he was persecuting Christ. He was literally kicking against Christ. He was not faithful to Christ whenever God called him to service. This verse, therefore, does not mean that Paul was faithful and that's why he was called. It cannot mean that. Many commentators agree that Paul is here thanking Christ for what Christ has done. Christ has saved him, Christ has chosen him, Christ has called him, Christ has enabled him, and it's Christ who has made him faithful. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 25, Paul says of himself that he is one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. It was Christ's mercy that made him faithful. How was Paul faithful? It was Christ. How will you and I ever be faithful to what Christ calls us to? The answer is Christ. Let me just leave you one last truth. The calling of God is a high calling. Let us pray for our brother and our sister. It is a privileged calling. Many of us will not be given it, but it's been given to them. And we're all involved in the Great Commission. Either we are those that go, or we are those that pray for and support those that go. Let us seek to be faithful, to pray for our brother and our sister. It is a privileged calling, a high calling. It's all of grace. They're nothing but sinners as you and I are. And the only way they'll ever be faithful is if Christ makes them such. The only way they'll ever endure and persevere is if Christ enables them, puts enablement into them, empowers them. It's the only way. And Christ does such through our prayers. But one last thing as I close. The calling of God is a personal calling. Look at me please again at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11. Paul says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me. Oh yes, Paul admits here, using the plural term "our," that he's the Savior, he's the Lord, he's the Jesus, he's the Christ of all God's people, but yet it's a personal, it's an individual thing. Christ Jesus, who enabled me. Who counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. The calling of God is an individual matter. The calling of God is a personal matter. The calling of God is a personal calling. And that makes it a personal privilege. How did the Apostle Paul respond to this calling? And how should anybody here tonight who's called of God, how should you respond to it? Well, look at me please at chapter 2 and the verse 7. Having read in verses 5 and 6 Christ's work and suffering and being that mediator on our behalf and giving himself a ransom for all and great suffering and at great cost, Paul says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher. The word ordained there actually means to lay down. It actually means to kneel down. In fact, out of the 45 times it's used in the New Testament, it's translated as lay down, or kneel down. Whenever a person is ordained to the gospel ministry, they get on their knee in our presbytery. Hands are laid on them, but they kneel down. It's in submission
to the calling of God in their lives. And Paul uses this term. He says, I was ordained a preacher. I lay down to what God called me to be and to do. I didn't resist it. I was submissive to it. And so tonight, let us thank the Lord that he has given our brother and our sister grace to be faithful, to submit to the calling of God. Let us therefore pray for them. But anybody who's receiving the calling of God tonight in their life, you do the same. You submit to the leading and the call of God in your life. And you will know that Christ is faithful. And you'll see the great privilege that it is to serve the Lord and to give your life to proclaim him who's worthy of everything. The call of God. Let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word. Again, we thank thee, Father, for the deputation video. We thank thee for all our ears have heard. Father, we thank thee for giving grace to our brother David and our sister Rachel. And we pray, Father, that as you enabled the Apostle Paul, as you were faithful to the Apostle Paul, we pray, Lord, that thou would show thy faithfulness to them. Ever increase the calmness and confidence that they have, that thou will be to them all that they need. And Father, that they will be able to do all things through Christ, through thee, who strengthens them. Help them never to see the strength is not in themselves. It's not a natural strength. It is a supernatural strength that will always come from thee whenever they look to thee for it. Father, we pray for thy blessing upon thy servants. Lord, undertake, lead the way forward for them. Provide for their finances. Provide, Father, all the practical details. Prepare the way for them. We thank thee for what we saw on the Lord's day. Lord, that you will go before them. You will go with them. And you will always be with them. We thank thee for the preparation. We thank thee for the presence in the present. And Lord, we thank thee for the future promise. Oh Lord, be to them all that they need. Use them greatly for thy glory. Make them faithful. That at the end of their lives they will be able to say, the time of my departure is at hand. And there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Oh Father, may they be able to testify that thou hast counted them faithful. Thou hast made them faithful. Oh Father, we pray the same for anybody in here tonight. Lord, to whom the call of God has come or will come, that you'd make them faithful too. There's a great need for the gospel to go into this world. So many are lost and perishing. But Father, thy calling is a personal calling. And Lord, we pray, as has been prayed even over recent months, especially even since our brother Mr. Boyle was here, we pray that in thy will thou would raise up servants even from this congregation. Oh Lord, if thou didst do that, they would be greatly missed. But Lord, what a privilege for servants to be called out of any congregation to go and to serve thee. Oh Father, we thank thee for all the work that's done even here in this congregation, proclaiming Christ as the Savior of men to the boys and girls, to the young people, to the nursing home. Lord, especially in the Lord's day, we pray thou wouldst ever bless thy word as it goes forth. Equip thy servants. Glorify Christ. Save the lost. Strengthen the saved. Ever enable thy people to be faithful. We thank you for them. In Jesus' name we ask it now. Amen.